Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you find 4 lines from the top of Daf Mem Hei. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us note at the side where we have the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Mitzvahs Arava Beveis HaMikdash. We've made mention of this already quite extensively in past shiurim, that in addition to the arava that's part of the lulav, there is also a separate mitzvah of the arava within the context of the Beis HaMikdash, and part of the mitzvah involved the arava being set up around the Mizbeach. In addition to that, we saw that there is an approach that suggests that they marched around the Mizbeach as well with the Arava. The Mishnah. Mitzvah Arava Ketzad. How is the mitzvah to be done? So the Mishnah here gives us background. Mokom Hoyo Lamatam Yushalayim V'nikra Moitza. There was a place, a location at the foothills of Jerusalem, and the place was called Moitza. Yordim L'Sham, the agents, the shluchim, the emissaries of the Beis Din, would go down there. U'malaktin Misham Murbiyos Shel Arava, and they would collect Arava branches. U'boyin V'zoikfin Oysam B'tzidei HaMizbeach. And the branches were then stood around the sides of the Mizbeach. Roshen Kfufin Al Gabi Hamizbeach, and the tips of these branches were bent over, hovering over the top of the Mizbeach. When we get into the Gemara, we'll see more detail about this. These were actually very long branches that stood on the base of the Mizbeach and reached over the top of the Mizbeach. Toku v'horiu v'toku. There was a blowing of the shofar, a tkia, trua, and tkia. B'chol yoim makifin es mizbeach pam achas. Every day of Sukkis, there was a surrounding of the mizbeach once, v'oimrim, and they would say, Ono Hashem hoishi ono, Ono Hashem hatzlich ono. Psukim that are famous to us from the Hallel, where we beseech Hashem to save us and grant us success. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, On Ani Vahoy Hoshiyana. This was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as to what they said. V'oiso Hayom, Makifin Es Mizbeach Sheva Pomim. Oiso Hayom is a reference to the seventh day of Sukkis, what we know as Hoshana Rabo. They surrounded the Mizbeach 7 times. B'shas P'tiros and Mahin Omrim. As they departed from the Mizbeach, what did they say? Yofi loch Mizbeach, Yofi loch Mizbeach. Beautiful is the Mizbeach. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Leka v'loch Mizbeach, Leka v'loch Mizbeach. This will be explained later in the Gemara, but the phrase has to do with a blessing to the Almighty and to the altar. The way it was practiced on a weekday is the same way it would be practiced on Shabbos. However, with regard to Shabbos, they wouldn't cut the Arovas on Shabbos day, but rather on Friday. And they would place the Arovas in golden receptacles, filled with water, kedei shelo yichmoshu, so as to prevent them from withering. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broki Omer, Chorios Shel Dekel Hoyu Mavim. He has a different approach. He says that they would bring branches of palms, the Choyfte Noisim Bekarka, and they would wedge them into the ground, but Sidei HaMizbech, around the sides of the Mizbech. V'oisayon Nikro Chibut Chorios, and that day was known by the term Chibut Chorios. Miyad Tinoikos Shoimten Es Lulvehen V'oichlin Es Rogehen. On the last day of Sukkis, so there are, they would, according to one of the two pshatim that you see in the Meforshim here, they would grab from the children, from the minors, their lulavim and eat their esrogim. There's another approach that you find in the Tosfos here, and Rashi cites this as well further on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, that miyad is not to be taken as from their hands, but the children themselves immediately dropped their lulavs and went to eat their esrogim. The Gemara, Tana. Here the Gemara explains the name Motzah, and the Tanaic source says Mokom Kalanyo Have. Kalanyo is a place that has been freed from taxes. Rashi says Ben Churin Min Hamas Shel Melech. It's a place that is exempt from taxes. The word Kalanyo somehow reminds one of the word, the English word colony, but what they do have in common, at least, is it's a reference to a region or a province. V'tono didon, my time akori le'moitza. So our Mishnah doesn't use the word kalanya. Why does it use the word motza? In effect, it's the same thing. It's aidi de mepik mikarga de malka, since they've been exempted. Mepak literally means taken out. And in Hebrew, mepak is motza. It's taken away, taken out of the tax obligation. The karga de malka, the karga is the name of a tax of the king's tax. So since it's exempted from the tax, kori le motza. The Mishnah refers to that area as motza, indicating something taken out, exempted from the tax. Uboyin v'zoikfin oison b'tzidei. The Mishnah says that the Arofas were then stood around the sides of the Mizbeach. Tono, Rebbe teaches. Rabois, v'arukois, ugvoihois. They were tall, or they were large and tall, long and tall. Achadisre amo, their length was 11 amos. Kedei shiyu goichos al hamizbeach amo. By having such a length, so they would in fact hover over, bend over the mizbeach one amo. So by having them a length of 11 amos, they would gochos. And it's important to emphasize that the word gochos means bending over, hovering over, and not dragging on the top of the mizbeach. We must correct a mistake we made in the reading just a couple minutes ago. At the beginning of this Tanaic source, we should correct our reading. Tono rakois ve'arukois voice echad asor amo. The reading is taken from the Ranchburg commentary on the side, and with that understanding, rakos means they were flexible, pliable, they were literally soft, but they were pliable and long, and they were 11 amos in length, so that the gochos al mizbeach would be achieved. Omar Maremar, a long point is going to be made over here, and before we actually learn the long point, let us take a look at the diagram that we've provided on the side of your Gemara. What you're looking at is a cutaway of the Mizbeach with the dimensions written into this diagram. The total height of the Mizbeach from the floor to the roof of the Mizbeach, excluding the kronos, the corners, which aren't going to figure in this particular discussion. So the total height of the Mizbeach was 9 amos. If you measure from the base of the Mizbeach, the base of the Mizbeach itself had a height of 1 amo. So from the base of the Mizbeach till the top, obviously, 8 amos. The Aravos that we spoke about, that we saw in this Tanaic source, it was mentioned that the Aravos were 11 amos long. And in addition to that, they had to be gochois al mizbech. As we said, they hover over or bend over the mizbech without dragging on the mizbech. The Gemara will point out, in order to account for that, you would have to have the length of the Arava 11 amos. There's another statistic that appears that is important for understanding this, is that the inset from the base, you notice it's a type of, it looks like stairs where it's indented. You have the base jutted out. Not only did it have 1 amo of height, but it was also an amo jutting out from the Mizbeach. And then when you rose a few more amos, you see it juts, there's a part that juts out, which also has a width of 1 amo. In order to accomplish gochos al mizbech amo, the Gemara will tell us that the aravos had to be 11 amos, and it's going to explain why. Because in order to account, let us say, for its flopping over or its bending over at the top of the mizbech, 1 amo without touching the top of the mizbech, it was necessary for the arova plant to rise above the mizbech before it bends over 1 amo. 1 amo up, and then if it flops over at the tip, 1 amo, so it won't be dragging on the mizbech. Those are the little ones that you see in parentheses in our diagram. In addition to that, you have to have it... The Gemara will point out that it could not be placed on the ground, because 11 amos then would not be enough. True, there's a rise of, by placing it on the base of the mizbeach, you see that you're rising a vertical 8 amos. However, you have to take into account the additional dimension of the inset, where you see twice 1 amo moving in, so that there is essentially, it's not a vertical arova, it's not placed vertically, but rather at a slant, as you can see in the diagram. So in order to accomplish the 1 amo inward movement twice, and also have it gochos al mizbeach by 1 amo, you would need to have a total of 11 amos. A total of 11 amos in order to accomplish all of these points. So our hope is that using the diagram and now turning to the Gemara text, things will be clear. We're calling this a long point. Omar Amemar Mishumar Zutro Shma Mino, from that which we have said, that the Arova was 11, a total of 11 amos in length, and it was Goyches al Mizbeach, 1 amo. So we learn, Shma Mino, we can conclude from this, Al HaYesoid Monach Lehu. The Arava was elevated to be placed on top of the base of the Mizbeach, and not on the ground. If you were to think that the Arova was placed directly on the ground, Michti, well, let's look into this. And in this Tanaic source, you're going to be given the dimensions of the Mizbeach starting from the ground. So you're going to be moving up an Amo, and then inset an Amo, and then you're going to be moving up several more Amos, five more Amos, and then inset an Amo, and then rising three more Amos till the roof of the Mizbeach. Well, that's a vertical rise of nine Amos right there. Then you've got the insets to account for, and then you also have to have it goyches al mizbeach. That all of that couldn't be accomplished if the arova was placed on the ground, in other words, the bottom affixed to the ground. Therefore, it had to be elevated, and that's what the source reveals. Michti olo amo v'kines amo zehu yisod. You would rise an amo and then move in an amo, that accounts for the base. Olo chomesh v'kines amo, you would rise another five amos. So we don't have this on our diagram, we didn't want to crowd it with numbers, but you would rise another five amos and then inset one amo. Zehu sovev, that inset of an amo is actually a type of ramp or parapet running around the mizbeach at that height, and that's called the sovev. Olo shalosh, you would rise another three. Zehu mokom akronos, that's the roof of the mizbech, upon which, we don't have this in our diagram, but there were four blocks, cubes measuring one amo cubic at each one of the four corners of the mizbech. And the word kronos, in a phonetic sense, you could see, looks very much like the word corner. Goyches al gabi hamizbeach hechi mishkachas lo. If the arova was placed on the ground, how would you be able to accomplish it? The arova hovering over the mizbeach, flapping over the mizbeach, but not actually dragging on the mizbeach. You couldn't accomplish that if it were set on the ground. If an 11 amo long arova was set on the ground, elolav. So that therefore we must conclude shma mino. This proves a yesod monach lehu. The arova was placed on the base of the mizbeach. Shma mino. This is conclusive. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, you see triangles appear, and on the side we have a nosei mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note. So we will be seeing here drushos al haposuk isru chag bavosim ad karnos hamizbeach. So that is a posuk found in Tehillim, and the Gemara continues with a drushos on this topic. Omar Rebbe Avo, my craw. What is the posuk that indicates that the arovas rose above the mizbeach? Shenemar, the posuk says, Isru chag bavosim ad karnois hamizbeach. And for our purposes, the word bavosim is taken to mean ilonos, trees. In this case, we're referring to the arovas. Ad karnois mizbeach, reaching above the corners of the mizbeach. In other words, the arovas, as alluded to in this pasuk, were higher than the mizbeach. Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Kol hanoytel lulav beigudo v'hadas bavoso. Anyone who takes a lulav bound together with the other species, and the hadasim are the way they are supposed to be, as we've described them earlier in the Masechta, how the hadas looks like a chain of leaves, three leaves at each level. So one who accomplishes that, who takes the lulav and the hadas, malav akosuf, the Torah considers him ki'ilu bono mizbeach v'hikriv olav korban. It's as if he gets credit as having built an altar and offering sacrifices on it. Shenemar, as it is said, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Isru chag bavosim ad karnois hamizbeach. The word Isru is also means bound, so it's a lulav bound together, ba'avosim. Avos is a reference to the posuk that says regarding the hadas, anaf eats avos. So avosim is the hadasim, and ad karnos mizbeach, the corners of the mizbeach, was the part of the mizbeach that the blood applications of sacrifices were performed. So that you see in this posuk, with the Chazal drosha, a reference to someone who takes a lulav together with the hadasim in their proper form. It's as if he built an altar and offered sacrifices. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon HaMachozi Mishum Rabbi Yochanan HaMakusi. Number of names. What they say is Kol Ha'Oisa Isur Lachag Be'achilo Shtia. Ma'al of Akosuv Kilubona Mizbech Vehikriv Olav Korban. Now, here we have an expression, Kol Ha'Oisa Isur Lachag. The Rashi is very brief. Isur Lachag, he says, Aguda Lachag. Aguda Lachag might mean something along the lines of adding to the holiday. It's like you're tying something onto the holiday. And tying on or adding on to the holiday in the sense of adding food and drink, off serving larger meals than you would ordinarily because it's the holiday. So one who does that, it's that the pasuk considers him, gives him credit, like we saw before, as if he built a mizbeach, he built an altar and offered upon it a sacrifice. Again, how do we see this in the how do we know this from the pasuk? Shenemar isru chag bavosim ad karnois hamizbeach. Now here the Isru Chag is what we said before, adding to the holiday, like tying additional things onto the holiday. Bavosim with fat animals, thick fat animals, it's rich food. So it's considered as if you reached the corners of the Mizbeach, as we said before, offering sacrifices, the blood applications of sacrifices, which is really the main aspect of sacrificial offerings that were done on the corners of the Mizbeach. We have a new marking scheme that one should be aware of. The diamond has been used to introduce Reb Shimon ben Yochai. We're going to see a number of drushes of his as we go on. And we're also going to see the name Chizkiah Omer Reb Yirmiyah Mishum Reb Shimon Yochai. And that is what's featured with the double underline. So you can see there's a certain structure to the Gemara that's characterized by repeated drushes brought in by the same name of Rabbonim. Omar Chizkiah, Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulon, ein odom yoytse bohen elo derech gedilosan. All the mitzvahs, one does not fulfill the mitzvah unless he does it in the way the plant grows. Now that is very vague. So we look in the Rashi on this first narrow line. Kol ha-mitzvahs kagon, kroshya mishkan, ve'amudim, ve'lula, ve'hadas, ve'rova. There are mitzvahs that are, say, based upon plant tree growth. The beams of the upright boards surrounding the Mishkan and the poles that held up the curtain that constituted the courtyard of the Mishkan, and the beams that enclosed the enclosed part of the Mishkan and the poles came from trees. They come from wood. They were wooden, albeit coated with gold, but they were wooden so that the pole has to be, and maybe it's obvious, but it has to be in the length of the tree, so that the bottom of the pole and it is standing on the ground, the top reaching up in the air, as if it were the tree in its growth. The bottom of the pole corresponding to the bottom of the tree, and the top of the pole or the board corresponding to the upper part of the tree's trunk. So that's as far as the boards and poles used for the Mishkan, And likewise the hadasim and aravis and the lulav, when you take them and hold them while in their upright position as they appear in their natural growth state. That, we'll read the line again in the Gemara, kol ha-mitzvahs kulan, all of the mitzvahs that are, as we said, wood or tree, plant based, ein odom yotzei b'hen elo derech gedilas, and he fulfills them only if they are positioned in their natural position of growth. Shenemar atzei shitim oimdim. That pasuk is actually from the construction of the Mishkan, where they used shitim, wood. So it's atzei shitim oimdim, as they are standing. Tanyo nami hochi, and now we have a Tanaic source in which we'll see a number of drushes concerning this pasuk. The pasuk of atzei shitim oimdim. So, Tanya nami hachi atzei shitim oimdim, number one, sha'oimdim derech gedilasan. The trees that are made into the poles and boards of the Mishkan must stand in their natural growth position. Dovor acher, oimdim, the posuk said atzei shitim oimdim, what does oimdim indicate? Shema'amidim es tzipuyon. Tzipuyon means their coating. It means that there were gold plates that were used to cover the Mishkan boards, and they were nailed into the board, which was called the core or the base of the Mishkan walls. It was a wood pole, a wood board, and nailed onto it were gold plates. That's the idea of Mamidim et Sipun, and Rashi says this is in contrast to, let us say, a large golden cover was made for the poles and simply slipped on the pole and attached to the pole, leaning on the boards without any additional attachment. So that's not what was done, but rather these golden plates were nailed onto the boards. Dover acher oimdin, another drosha on oimdin is Shemo Toimar. You might say that when the Mishkan was put out of service, you might say Shemo Tomar Ovat Sivrom Ubotel Sikuyon. The expression means that you'll never. The gist of this expression, without a literal translation, means it's put out of commission, never to be seen again. So that's what one might have thought. Talmud Lomar Atzei Shitim Oimdim. Even though the Mishkan was put out of service, once the permanent structure was completed, one might even debate could be even in the time of Shiloh, when there was the boards of the Mishkan were no longer used as the walls; there were stone walls, only a fabric covering in the case of Shiloh. So, but there was a point in time when the Ohel Moed, when the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu was credited of constructing, was put out of service. So you might say, well, once it's put out of service, it's gone forever. So to this, the Pasuk reveals that Atzei Shitim Oimdim She'oimdim Le'olam Olmei Olmim, they are around forever. Now, it's beyond the purview of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shir, but there's an obvious question. Once the Mishkan was put out of service, of course that's it. There is no further need for it. Why is it so important to tell us that it exists forever? It's permanently around, even though it's not being used. So whatever this represents, we can probably be assured that it's beyond the simple translation that we just gave, but rather this idea of the Mishkan's permanence is representative of something on a deeper level. Continuing in the Gemara, V'omar chizki omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And here we have a section of Gemara that is extremely obscure, if you will. We can translate it, and we'll get some sense of what is being communicated. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature an additional marking. You see the trapezoid or the volcano shape is used. And this represents Shlavim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the stages in Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's statement, where he opens up saying, Yochol ani liftor es kol ha'olam min hadin, that I, through my merit, and one should not think for a moment that there's any element of haughtiness over here, but rather he was aware, he was divinely inspired, or he had innate awareness that because of his massive amount of merit, he was capable of sparing the world at his time, sparing the world of judgment, of divine retribution. Because he had so much merit, his merit could, so to speak, be shared with the rest of the world and spare it from judgment. As the Gemara goes on in these additional stages, you'll see that he says if his son is with him, then even more so, and if the king, Yoysom ben Uzio, all the more so, as we'll see in the Gemara. Again, we're going to translate the Gemara, and as far as the depth of understanding, that's for another time. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tells us that Yochol ani liftor es kol ha'olam kulo min adin miyoyim shenivresi ad ata. Says, I know, and those of you who are familiar with the story that is featured in Maseches Shabbos, how he ran, he escaped the Romans and spent the 12 to 13 years in a cave with his son, dedicated completely to the study of Torah and some will tell you the mystical elements of the Torah as well. Total self-sacrifice, no element of self or of ego, and he accumulated a massive amount of merit. So he tells us that I have the ability, by way of the zechus that I have, to spare the world from judgment from the day I was created till now. V'ilmole Eliezer b'ni imi miyom shenivro ha'olam v'ad achshav. And if my son Eliezer was with me, so then between the two of us, we could spare the world from judgment from the time the world was created till now. V'ilmole Yoysom ben Uzio imanu, and if the King Yoysom, who was from the Davidic dynasty in the first Beis Hamikdash period, if he was with us, and he is a person that was a very, very pious, lofty individual that received no benefit, did not enjoy the pleasures of this world whatsoever. So if he was with us, Miyom shenivro ha'olam ad sofo, from the time of creation till the end of time. V'omar chizkio am Rabbi Yirmiyah mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ro'isi b'nei aliyah v'hemu otim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I perceived the b'nei aliyah are people of great merit, and they are very few. Rashi says, Ra'isi, across from here, Rashi says, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah v'hemu otem, ro'a ani l'fi ma'is abrios, I see from the behavior of people, she'b'nei aliyah kat ha'mekam l'shchina mu'otem heim, the lofty individuals, the group, the kat is a group of people who receive the divine presence, they are very few in number. And we go through a few stages of this theme now. Im elef hein, if there are 1,000 of them, ani uvni mehem, then I and my son are amongst them. Im mea hein, if there are 100, ani uvni mehem, then I and my son are of amongst them. Im shnayim hein, if there are only 2, ani uvni hein, then only I and my son are those 2. Question: O mi zutri kulei hai, are there so few? The Amar Rava, Tamni Sori Alfi Dora, Have the Kamikut Shabrichu. Tamni Sori is 18, Alfi, 1,000. 18,000 Dora, rows. 18,000 rows of pious people are sitting in front of the Kudsha Brich Hu, or sitting in front of the divine presence in the other world, if you will. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Saviv Shmoina Oser Elef, around him is 18,000. So how can Rav Shimon Bar Yochai claim that there are so few when this pasuk indicates many, many more? Lo kashya, there is no question here. Ha de mistakli bas baklaria hami'ira. Ha de lo mistakli bas baklaria hami'ira. Again, these are very mystical ideas, obscure ideas, but we'll offer a brief a translation based on Rashi. Asbaklaria, Rashi says, Mechitza shechetzetzes beinayim l'shchina. It's a fence or a wall that separates the righteous from the divine presence. Meira, Rashi says, Kemara zu sheroyin bo. A mara is a mirror that you see in. V'yesh tzadikim she'ein me'ir lehem kol kach v'ein yuchoyun lirois mamish. This has to do with the level of clarity of that which they see. So that there is a division made between those that see with great clarity. Those are very few in number. And those that see but don't see with great clarity, they are greater in number. And again, we're talking about some type of, we'll say, heavenly vision here, or heavenly existence of the tzaddikim, the righteous ones that reach these lofty levels. And even on those levels, there are different groups and different grades. The Gemara continues with a question. The question lasts a number of lines. Udemistakli vasbakya meira mi zutri kulehai. And as far as those that have clear vision, and according to what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was telling us, it might be as few as two. Is it really so few in number? Mi zutri. Zutri means small. Is it so small in number? V'ha omar abaye. Lo pochus almo mitalsin v'shiso tzadiki. The Mekabli Apeshchina B'chol Yom. There is no less than 36 righteous people that receive the divine presence every day. Shenemar, Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi. And the word Loi in this pasuk, Loi Begematria, the numerical equivalent of that word, equals Talsin V'shisa Havu, 36. So, what is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai telling us when he says that there might be only two? When here you see there are 36 righteous people in every generation. Lo kashya, no contradiction. Ha da'ili babar, ha da'ili below bar. Rashi says babar is birashus. The Rabbi Nuchlanel has another explanation. He offers another explanation, but for our purposes, let's stick with the Rashi's pshat. Babar means with permission. And the Aili below bar, there are those that enter the inner sanctum there in heaven, even without permission. And as far as those are concerned, those are very few in numbers. And it was regarding them that he said, if there are only two, then I and my son are them. We continue. Bish'as p'tirosin mahin omrim. When they departed from the Mizbeach, when they finished the mitzvah Arova, what did they say? And the Mishnah pointed out, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Leko Veloch Mizbeach, Leko Veloch Mizbeach. And on a translation level, Rebbe Lozer says that they would say, to Hashem and to you, the Mizbeach. There is a problem with this, the Gemara raises. And that is v'ha kol mishtatev shem shomayim v'dovar achir. When mentioning Hashem's name, that you are expected to mention him in isolation, not attach something else with it. This idea of attaching is called mishtatev. Maybe you're familiar with the word shutfis, shutfim are partners. There's another very famous world religion that, in fact, worships in this fashion of a type of partnership. It's called, maybe they refer to it by the term Trinity, and that's called Shituf, where there's mention of the Almighty, of God, and someone else. But we cannot do that. And that's what is being, Reb Lozer Hans is being brought into question. How is it that when making reference to Hashem, to the Almighty, there is attached to him something else, in this case, the Mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, V'ho ko mishtatev shem shemayim v'dover achir v'tanyo, and we are taught, ko mishtatev shem shemayim v'dover achir ne'ekar min ha'olam, that one who attaches anything to the Almighty is uprooted from the world. The Gemara answers, Hochi Komar. Thusly, we are to understand Reb Elazar in the Mishnah, that the reference of Lecha Ulecha Mizbeach, it's not a type of joint reference, but rather there is a split. Lecha Anachnu Modim. The reference to the Almighty is one of we are Modim. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge we don't in Hebrew, lo koifrim, we don't deny you. The word modeh is to acknowledge. Ulecha, and regarding the Mizbeach, onu mishabchin, we praise the Mizbeach in that it is so beloved to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that it is the source of atonement, or through it, we should say, through the Mizbeach, and the sacrifices offered thereon, we receive atonement of our sins. Lecha, Anu anachnu mevorchim, ulecha anu mekalsin. The Almighty, to the Almighty, we bless, and the mizbeach we mekalsin, we praise. Again, there are nuances here. There are very fine differences, but for our purposes, it's not that Reb Elazar was suggesting something. The mizbeach is linked together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather each one is addressed in with regard to a different element. Kemasehu b'choil, and the continuation we saw Reb Yochum and Roika Oimer Chorios Shel Dekel Hoyu Mevim. Before we continue in the Gemara, we see on the side the Nosei, the triangle, and on the Nosei Mivne, the structural note and comment of structural comment, we have Shnei Deos, two explanations, two opinions, Litam de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, de Lokhu Dekel ben Koim Arovo Lemizbeach. We're going to try to understand why does he say that they would use a palm branch instead of the Arova. What was the significance of the palm branch? Omar Rav Huna, my taimo de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, what is the reason that he had a palm branch? Dichtiv, when we say that he had, means that he said that the surrounding of the Mizbeach was done with a palm. So, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Kapois, this is the Pasuk that is found by the mitzvah of Lulav. It says there, Ulekachtem lochem biyom arishon, kapois tamorim, it says pre-eitz hador, kapois tamorim, ve'anaf eitz avois, ve'arve nochal. So in the reference to the lulav, the word appears, where the word is read as kapois in the plural. So that the lulav, which comes from a palm, from a tomor, is a palm, there are two palm references. So, kapos equals shnaim. Achas to lulav, one for the mitzvah lulav, achas to mizbeach, and one for this mitzvah surrounding the mizbeach. V'rabbonon amri, the rabbonon who don't have any reference to a palm for the mitzvah of surrounding the mizbeach, amri kapas ksiv. In the Torah, there are no vowels, and there's no vav in the word either. So, when you look at the word as it's written, it appears in the singular. It's true we read it in the plural. We read it as kapois, which is plural. But the letter, the letters indicate singular. So they place an emphasis on the on the way the word appears without vowelization, and hence they do not agree with Rabbi Yochanan Broka, and they don't have a dekel, they don't have a horishal dekel for the mitzvah of surrounding themselves, and hence they have the aravas. Rabbi Levi Omer, Kitamar, the reason for Rabbi Yochanan Broka wanting to use the palm branch is an idea and not darshan from the posuk. It's an idea. Ma tomor ze'ein lo ela lev echad. Just like the palm tree is unique in that its central substance, Rashi uses the term moyach, which is in other contexts it's a reference to marrow. But it's the central substance in a tree's trunk, possibly responsible for the water absorption going all the way up the tree. In the case of the palm, that substance exists only in the trunk and doesn't extend into the branches. So that makes it a unique type of tree. So using this idea, Rabbi Levi says, Ma tomor ze ein lo ela lev echad. Just like the tomer has only one heart, it doesn't branch out, it's singular. Af Yisrael, Ein lo ela lev echad l'avim sheba shamayim. So too, the Jewish people have only one heart, which is dedicated to the Almighty exclusively. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic. We glance at the side. The nose, the topic heading reads Tedirus, the frequency, Shel Brocha Shemivorchem al Sukkah and Lulav. How often is one expected to make a Brocha on a Sukkah and on the Lulav? Each one of these mitzvahs, the Sukkah and the Lulav, is performed throughout the holiday, 7 days of this mitzvah, of the performance of these mitzvahs. What is the halacha, the law regarding the frequency of the brachas? We will see a number of opinions on this topic, and that is what you can see. We've marked with the double underline. These are, in effect, deos, betedirus shel brocha. These are opinions regarding this matter of the frequency of the brachas. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Lulav Shiva. That means that you'll make a bracha every day of Sukkot that you are taking the Lulav, each one of the 7 days, and new brachas recited. The Sukkah Yom Echad, and the Sukkah, you make a bracha at the beginning of the holiday, and that's it. My time off. Why? Answer, Lulav Demifsiki Leilos Yomim, Kol Yom Mitzvah Bapi Napshehu. The lulav is a daytime mitzvah. It's not done at night. So the night, separates, is a hefsik, is an interruption in the mitzvah performance. So therefore each day is viewed as a separate unit, and it's not viewed as a continuum. Hence you need to make a new bracha for the lulav each day. Each day is essentially a new separate unit or entity. Sukkah de lo mifsiki leilos miyamim. The sukkah, as everyone knows, one is to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. And dwelling includes sleeping day and night. So that the mitzvah of sukkah is performed, is fulfilled by being in there on a continuous 7 day, 7 days and nights. So there's no interruption. It's true one is allowed to leave the sukkah, but the essential way of fulfilling sukkah is by dwelling in there for a full week. So there's no sanctioned interruption in the case of sukkah. And hence, kulu shiva kechad yom aricha damo. All 7 days are viewed as one long day. So that you're making a brocha at the beginning of Sukkot, it's like the beginning of the day. That brocha then carries you. You fulfill your brocha requirement with that one brocha made at the beginning of this singular unit of time, this singular uninterrupted unit of time. Verabo bar bar chana om Rabbi Yochanan. Different approach. Sukkah shiva v'lulav yom echad. The sukkah, you'll make a bracha every day, and the lulav only once. My timer. Why? Answer, sukkah d'oraisa shiva. Sukkah is midoraisa, is Torah incumbent for 7 days. So each day has a Torah level requirement. Lulav d'rabbanan. Lulav is rabbinic. Be after the first day. Sagile b'chad yoma. It's enough to make a bracha on the first day, which happens to be the Torah level requirement. The rest of Sukkot is not on that level. So one bracha is enough. There is room to debate the possibility, and this is something we'll see later in the sugya, that by virtue of the fact that something is merely derabbanan, that might be reason for not making a bracha to begin with. In other words, that one would not make a bracha on something that's merely rabbinic in origin. But for our purposes, we're not going to commit ourselves to that as an actual explanation, other than by emphasizing that the first day is Doraisa, the rest of the days are not, hence it's sufficient to have the bracha recited on the first day alone. Ki osa Ravin Omar, and here we have a third approach, and it's a second form of Rabbi Yochanan. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh, sukkah and lulav, shiva. Omar Rav Yosef, nekoit derabo bar bar chano biyodoch. Take Rabo bar bar chano's approach, and he was, we have here the number two approach. He was the first quotation of Rabbi Yochanan. He said sukkah 7 days, and each day a new bracha. And why should we take his approach regarding sukkah, a new bracha every day? Dekulu amaroi kaimi kavosei basukkah. All those that quote Rabbi Yochanan say seven days of brachas for sukkah. There's each day another bracha for the sukkah. It is true that Shmuel said only one day, and Rashi says, however, that when you have a machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha psak rules tell us follow Rabbi Yochanan. So as it was just pointed out, Rav Yosef just pointed out that all the different versions of Rabbi Yochanan, there are differences, however, but with regard to sukkah, there's agreement. Sukkah shiva. The Gemara continues, Meisvei, and you'll notice that we are now continuing at the top of Daf Mem Vav. We have a question that's raised, and the question takes in this entire Tanaic source. The diamonds that you see here highlight the expressions Ha'isa Lulav and Ha'isa Sukkah. Mosai, we're reading on the side under our Mivneh heading, Mosai Mevorchin V'chosem, when are the brachas recited? Now, when we look at this source, we're going to see it's going to, as Meisvei indicates, it raises a problem, raises a couple of problems for that which we've learned so far. If we just skip to the heart of the question, you'll see, just looking at the dashed underlining, with regard to the lulav, the several lines after the diamond hoisa lulav, you see we've dashed on the choyzum of orakol shiv. We have 7 days of lulav brachas. And then with regard to sukkah, look at our dashed underlining. It says, yom rishon, one day is enough. Well, that certainly would challenge the opinions that we've seen till now, especially what Rabbi Yosef claimed. Rabbi Yosef said that with regard to sukkah, you're going to make a bracha every day. Here you see to the contrary. And we saw opinions regarding the lulav one bracha, and here you see again to the contrary. The Gemara then will have to resolve these inconsistencies. So here we have a Tanaic source which carries a lot of weight, and hence it raises a question against the psak of Amoroyim that we saw at the bottom of Mem Hei Omid Beis. So let's see the question. Ha'oisalulov li'atzmo, one who binds together the different species for himself, Omer Boruch Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'kimonu l'zman hazeh. We should just point out, as we do very often in Gemara markings, that when we learn Gemara, we're not learning halacha l'maaseh, we're learning the basis of practical law, but not actual practical law. So when you see things quoted in the Gemara, realize that you cannot base your actual practice on that which we are learning right now. That having been said, the Bryce is saying that one who, when he binds his lulav together with the other varieties, he says the bracha of Shechiyonu. Not loy lotzeis boy, he picks up the lulav to fulfill the mitzvah. Omer Boruch Asher Kitsham Isusovet Sivanu Al Netilas Lulav. He makes the bracha, the brachas hamitzvah, for the taking of the lulav. And that he is going to be making on the holiday itself. You see, binding the lulav together, that's done Erev Yom Tov. So you, according to this source, you're going to make the bracha of Shechiyonu Erev Yom Tov while you're at the point that you tie this species together. The bracha of the mitzvah, that obviously is on the holiday itself. But what we have, what we've emphasized here with the markings, is that Afal Pi Shabirich Olav Yom Rishon Chozer Umvorach Kol Shiva, the dash on the Chozer Umvorach Kol Shiva regarding the lulav, a brocha is to be made every day. Ha'oisa sukkah li'atzma, one who builds his own sukkah, Omer Baruch Shechion Mikimonu V'chulei, etc. Nichnas Leishev Ba, he enters it to fulfill the mitzvah. Omer Asher Kitshon Mitzvah V'svanu Leishev Ba Sukkah, he makes the brocha for the mitzvah of sukkah. V'kevan Shabirach Yom Rishon Shuv Eino Mevorach, once he makes the brocha on the first day, no further sukkah brochas are made. Kashya lulav alulav, kashya sukkah asukkah. From this source, you can raise a question on those opinions that we saw regarding the lulav, who had previously said only one brocha is made. We saw certainly Rabbi Barbarchana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef said, follow him. With regard to lulav, he said only one. Here you see each day seven. Here you have seven brachas because one bracha for each day. And kashya sukkah sukkah, well, again, there we saw Rav Yosef going like Rabbi Bar Chana, and for sukkah, Rabbi Bar Chana, quoting Rav Yosef, said seven brachas, a separate sukkah bracha every day. And here in this source, you see, regarding the sukkah, only one bracha at the beginning of the holiday, and that's it. Bishlama lulav alulav lo kashya, as far as lulav is concerned, that doesn't pose a difficulty. Kan bizman shebeis hamigdash kayim, kan bizman shein beis hamigdash kayim. In the time of the beis hamigdash, where each day was a mitzvah doraisa in the beis hamigdash, so each day they would make a brocha in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is like Rabbi Yochanan, who before had explained the sukkah as requiring a separate bracha because it's Doraisa. So that in fact was the case with the sukkah, with the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. Kan bizman she'ein Beis HaMishkayim, that which Rabbi Yochanan said only one day for the lulav, that is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when it's only a one-day mitzvah from the Torah. Elo sukkah, sukkah kashya. But how do we resolve the issue of the sukkah? Here you have a Tanaic source saying sukkah is made, a broch is made only once, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying 7 days. The Gemara says, Tanoi hi. It is a machlokes tanoim. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Amora, he has a Tanaic authority to base himself on. The Sanya. Now this source doesn't deal with sukkah, but there's a principle that we're going to extract from this source which deals with the topic of tefillin and apply it to sukkah. And here we have a source regarding tefillin. Tefillin kol zman shemanichon mevorech aleihem divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that whenever you put on tefillin, and it should be noted that tefillin, in the time of the Gemara, some people even this day practice wearing the tefillin all day. But in the course of the day, a person might take off his tefillin. Certainly if he has to relieve himself, he's going to take them off and put them back on. He might actually take them off, put them back on several times in the day. So Rebbe says, each time you put the tefillin on, you make a new tefillin bracha. The Chachamim Omrim, Einu Mevorach Elo Shachris Bovad. The Chachamim say, you make one bracha in the morning, and that's it. It carries you for the rest of the day. Now, our job, and we'll accomplish it through Rashi, is to parallel these two opinions, Rebbe and the Chachamim, stated by tefillin, with the case of the sukkah and the bracha. So we do that by learning the Rashi on the third line from the top, kol zman shemanichon. Every time you put them on, v'filu cholsen manichon me'apom b'yom, even if you take them off, cholsen is to remove them, manichon, put them back on 100 times in a day, a new bracha. V'gabi sukkah nami, so too with regard to sukkah. Even though the nights don't pose an interruption in the mitzvah, because it is really viewed as like one long day, each day with regard to the sukkah is parallel to what Rebbe said by the tefillin. It's like taking them off and putting them on. So the passage of time, even though in one case it's passive, in the other case it's active, but that's the parallel that Rashi is giving us. The appearance of each new day is, with regard to the sukkah, is like the taking off and putting on of the tefillin. The next Rashi, Elo Shachris, this is the opinion of the Chachamim, that the bracha on the tefillin is made only once in the morning, and this bracha holds you over for all the times you take them off and put them back on. Ubesukkanami kevan de kechad yoimahu. Similarly with sukkah, the 7 days are like one long day, and we explained that before, because the nighttime is not viewed as, the nighttime being as a time period that you're still bound to the mitzvah of sukkah, so it's not an interruption. So from a mitzvah standpoint, the 7 days are one continuum, one long day. Saki bebrocha shel yom rishon, the brocha that you make at the beginning of that one long day, which is really the first day of sukkahs, is like the Shitas Chachamim by the tefillin. You make one bracha in the morning, the beginning of that tefillin day. The Gemara goes on with more in terms of Psak Halacha. Itmar, Abaye Omar Hilchiso Kerebi. Abaye rules like Rebbe. And Rav Omar Hilchiso Kerabonon. The topic heading on the side, we have this Nosei Hemshech and a Mivneh, a structural note. The double underline, as you can see, highlighted the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Ech Livsot Binyin Brocha Al Tefillin I Pam B'Yoyim Oy Kol Zman Shemanichon Afilu Me'a Pomen B'Yom. This is, they have a Machlokes in how to Paskin regarding the issue of the Tefillin. And the Gemara continues with, as we saw, Abaye saying we should follow Rebbe's approach, which is multiple brachas during the day, each time you take them off and put them on. And Rava says, no, one bracha in the morning is enough for the tefillin. Omar Rav Mori bro debas Shmuel. Rav Mori tells us, Chazino leila Rava, I noticed Rava de lo ovid kishmait say, he didn't practice that which he ruled. So just once again, what did he rule? He ruled like the Rabbonan. One bracha in the morning and that's it. Now in actual practice, what does Rav Mori tell us? Elo maktim v'koi v'ayil besekise. Maktim v'koi means he got up early in the morning, got up early from his nighttime sleep, went to relieve himself in the bathroom. V'nofik u'moshiyot, he went out and then washed his hands. U'monach tfilin u'mavorech, He put his tefillin on and made the bracha, v'chi itzdrich zimne achrina, and when he needed to relieve himself again later, ayel beis hakisei v'nofik u'moshiyode, he would enter the beis hakisei, the bathroom, exit, and wash his hands, and u'monach tefillin u'mavarech. Notice with the markings, we have this dot underlining. You see him on the same day putting the tefillin on a couple of times, and you see with the dashed underlining, he's making a bracha each time. V'anan nami karebi avdinon umevorchin kol shiva. And here you can see the connection the Gemara makes between the tefillin and the sukkah issue, and the result of that being that we will go like Rebbe regarding the tefillin, and the result by sukkah is making a bracha on the sukkah each day. You know, it's each day and not just one bracha at the beginning of the holiday. As far as halacha lemaisa is concerned, we're not committing ourselves to that point here, but what you do see here is the idea of multiple brachas for sukkah, not just one at the beginning of the holiday. Omar Mar Zutra, Chazino Lei L'Rav Popi, I noticed Rav Popi D'chol Emas D'monach Tfilin Mavorach, every time he put his tefillin on, he would make a new bracha. Rabbonon Debei Rav Ashi Kol Emas De Mishmashi Behu Mavorachi. Mishmashi is to touch, to manipulate, maneuver, touch, adjust one's tefillin. Every time they did that, would warrant a new bracha. And this is based on the halacha. Rashi quotes it that a person is chayav, as Rashi's lashon, the chayavot on the mashmish tefillin kol shah, a person is obligated to constantly adjust his tefillin, to touch his tefillin. And this is learned from the tzitz, the golden head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol. So this approach of the Rabbanan Rav Ashi would have someone making many, many tefillin brachas in the course of the day, assuming he's wearing his tefillin for an extended period of time. The Gemara continues with more on the topic of mitzvahs, but in the context of the Daf Yomi, we have already spilled over our basic quota. So this is a convenient pausing point, even though we are in the middle of the general topic of brachas. So before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.